Now entering Nerdist.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another Today We Learned episode number 48. You guys, pretty exciting stuff. I am unfortunately not in this episode. Well, I'm here right now, but I'm not here later, if you catch my drift. If you keep listening, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And guys, I gotta say, I'm pretty bummed out because today's episode is awesome. We have a fantastic guest and a fantastic guest host. So Razzle sat down today and with our fabulous guest, who I'll get to in a moment. And he sat down with a guy who you've seen on Parks and Rec. You've seen him on Community. You've seen him on The Test. You may have seen him on Last Comic Standing a couple seasons ago. Kirk Fox, very funny guy, very funny comedian. I was bummed that I couldn't be here because even if I was here, he'd make a good guest host, make a good guest. But moreover, our guest today, I'm a big fan of his writing. You know, if you've seen Zombieland, if you've seen G.I. Joe Retaliation, if you're excited as hell for Zombieland 2 and Deadpool, if his IMDb is to be believed, then, oh my God, I'm so excited for Deadpool. I'm so excited for Deadpool. Gonna break the fourth wall. To me, that's gonna be like the Lego movie of Marvel movies. But I digress. Guys, get excited because today Razzle and Kirk Fox sat down with Rhett Reese. So get ready for Today We Learn number 48 with Rhett Reese.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Alrighty. Let's light this candle as that astronaut. I say that all the time, and I can never remember which astronaut said it.
No, I'm not sure.
It was one of the astronauts.
They probably all said it.
Once again, welcome to another episode of Today We Learned, everybody. Thanks for downloading this and listening in. As usual, Dan was at a last-minute Comic-Con meeting, so he's not here today. But we have two wonderful guests joining us. We have the very talented Rhett Reese, writer of Zombieland, Clifford's Big Red Movie, I believe, and G.I. Joe 2, Retaliation.
That's
very
correct.
Good. And then we have the very talented, funny Kirk Fox. He's a stand-up comedian. You've seen him on 30 Rock. Parks and Rec, I mean.
I've never been on 30
Rock.
But I got
Parks and Rec.
I got excited.
You got excited.
Maybe it happened.
Parks and Rec. He's been on Parks and Rec. You've seen him all over. He's been on You've done
did you
Letterman,
not? Did
right?
you not research? You didn't
I did.
Research.
I did. No, I'm going off. You did.
What are you going
Craig
off
Ferguson?
Of? I've seen you. I've never done Craig Ferguson.
I've seen you do stand up on which. Now I feel like an idiot.
That's all right. You brought me
very
in here.
Funny. Very funny.
But I've also hosted a TV show for
yes.
the for the last year.
It was on CBS
called The Test.
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. 150 episodes of conflict resolution, lie yeah. detector, DNA drug test.
Yes.
It's canceled, but it's still on till September. It's on every
cool.
day.
Oh,
but,
it's great.
But, yes.
So I'm not funny anymore, but I used to be.
Until September.
In September, I bet I pick up the pace again.
Yeah. You're still doing stand-up around town, right? You did Comedy Juice 2 weeks ago, right?
What is that? Comedy Juice?
Yeah, the improv. Didn't you were on that bill?
Man, I do not know.
Yeah.
I did a night there.
You did a night there. Fair enough.
Listen, I'm just happy to be here.
Me too.
Well, as we start off every episode, as our listeners know, we like to start off with the guests either providing a fact about themselves or something they learned recently. So, Rhett, why don't you go first?
Well, I thought I would share the fact that I have not had a case of the hiccups in 27 years. I don't get hiccups.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason I know that is because around 27 years ago, I just noticed that I hadn't had the hiccups in a while.
Yeah.
And then a couple months later, I noticed it again, and here I am 28 years later without ever having hiccups, which is really weird. And the doubly strange thing was about 10 years ago, I was going out with a woman who had a chronic case of the hiccups. So she never had an hour pass where she didn't hiccup about 4 or 5 times, and I had no hiccups. We were like,
really?
You know, kind of like Jack Spratt and his wife.
Do you feel bad that you haven't had hiccups?
No, I feel blessed, I guess, as opposed to bad. I mean, anyway, I don't know how that could be, but that's a weird fact about me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You should eat faster.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Where are you trying to give me the hiccups?
You know, listen, if you miss it that bad.
Yeah, if you're bragging, I'm like, knock on wood, you don't get the hiccups during this.
Yes, exactly. Can you imagine? That would be the greatest moment.
I mean, that's like, I'm trying to think of the last time I've had the hiccups. Like, I don't, it doesn't register. If I do get them, it's not like I'm not jotting
it's like
down.
It's like really often.
Yeah.
But you clearly
Do they even exist anymore?
Maybe not. Have you not had them either?
Am I
a social trend leader here?
I don't think I've had them either.
Maybe those
I hadn't thought about it.
Well,
the chemtrails are spreading gases that prevent hiccups.
I think they were popular when we were younger.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Looking back at when I was a kid, I had the hiccups. Yeah.
Of course,
a few
everybody
times.
Had their cure for the hiccups, too.
Well, you take a deep breath, but now...
Yeah. Peanut butter. I've always did like a scoop of the peanut butter.
We got to try and get them back.
Peanut butter is probably smart. We used to do this thing where you had to drink water through a napkin. So you'd put the napkin over the top of the glass, drink the water through the napkin, and it cured my hiccups for 28 years, so that really worked.
So that was too effective.
Yeah.
The napkins, the hiccup industry is very pissed at napkins.
They really are.
Listen, that's something to think about. That's something I didn't even know that I'd be thinking about today.
Like chicken.
Anyway.
I mean, this show kicks ass.
Yeah.
It does.
Hiccups. Like, I used to have hiccups a lot, and then, like, chicken pox was a thing. Like, is that still a thing, or did they cure that completely? Like, I feel like...
Well, I think some people who aren't vaccinating have caused a slight return of the chicken pox. Yeah, which is a bad thing. People need to vaccinate
But
their kids.
It comes with hiccups. It's a package deal now. If you get hiccups and chicken pox, you're dead. Well, you'll be dead in an hour.
And what you do, if you do have the chicken pox, take a bath with a box of napkins...
Yes,
and that'll
put a napkin over the top of the bathtub.
Put a napkin over
this is good to know. Yeah. I didn't know I'd be thinking about this.
Yeah. There you go.
That's interesting. Hiccups.
Anyway, I don't know how interesting it is, but I do think it was
I mean, people are not leaving.
No, people are pulled
not
over.
For that reason,
people are listening and pulled over to the side.
And they're
of the
rethinking.
Road they're like hiccups.
You got people rethinking their lives.
The last time they've had the hiccups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speechless.
What about you, Kirk? What do you learn anything recently, or
besides
fun fact about
besides the hiccups? I did. I learned that if you don't pick up your mail for 3 weeks,
I'm interested in this. What happens?
The mail carrier will just return it all to sender, and then you will spend probably the next month trying to track down
3 weeks of mail.
Hopefully some residuals, or you realize that you hadn't paid a credit card. There was a few weeks where, for some reason, I guess, I don't even think I was out of town. I just wasn't grabbing the mail. And the box filled up, and she thought nobody lived there. So I've been spending most of my time trying to, you know, track down
That's right.
A refund, a tax refund that clearly was in that box during that three-week window.
Some relative died.
That was sent back to the California Franchise Board. So I'm trying to get that. And it's so I learned that you just have got to grab your mail.
That's interesting.
Pick up your mail, even if you're afraid of it.
I wonder if there's like an actual, like you say 3 weeks, I wonder if there's an actual time frame post office that the workers are
there
supposed
may be
to hear
like
by.
The drop
no,
dead date.
The time frame is when the box
gets so full.
Is so full that they start feeling like an asshole is not picking up their mail.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she could have just left a note on my door and said, hey.
Hey, are you here?
Are you safe?
Right.
How about a knock on the door?
Alive?
Are you alive?
Yeah.
But it was... that's what I learned lately.
Yeah.
If you were to buy a really big mailbox, because I know they sell different sizes, would they just keep bringing it?
Or what if you were like waiting for a delivery of like some pills to save your life?
If you're waiting, for something that valuable, I'm sure you'll check your mail
that's
more than I did.
Right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it all comes back to me just being lazy.
See, I'll get a lot of junk mail that'll fill up my box, and it's like.
Listen, should have been grabbing it. I thought at some point I'd go to the mail.
Well, suddenly, a lot of crap. And I mean, it's most mail's bad. So
listen, I want this refund from California.
All right.
So I'm trying to track them down. But calling the franchise board, your estimated wait time, 2 hours.
Really?
And if you really want your money, you have to sit there.
That's the worst, being on hold. I bought this computer not too long ago when I was at the Mac store, and I wanted to pay half with cash and half on my card. And since my card, and I was using my bank in Michigan where I'm from, they wouldn't allow me to put that much on my credit card because they thought it could have been stolen. So I was on hold inside the Mac store for like 20 minutes transferring from Visa to my bank to back to this just to verify that.
It's a crazy world, ladies and gentlemen.
I love technology, but when it comes to having to talk to computers on a phone, it's the worst.
No, yeah.
I don't like technology. Yeah. You know, I'm not good at it.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I'm here. This was a big step. It's good for me to get out and... You asked if I'd do your podcast. Yeah. I said I should try.
Yeah.
I realized I have zero to no internet exposure. Yeah. So this should kick it up 5%.
Yeah. It's also in your radius, I believe, was the phrase you said.
I stay within a 3-mile zone.
A 3-mile zone. TMZ, right? Or is that 30-mile zone?
That's 10.
10-mile zone.
I think.
Is that what TMZ stands for?
Yeah. It's like
really?
It originated from, I think, when unions where you could go outside of work for the unions or whatever.
Oh.
And it was like a 30-mile zone or 10-mile zone for the old Hollywood.
I guess, 3 miles.
Yeah. And the idea is that anything that's worth photographing is happening within that zone, all the video.
Something like that. I can hear. I'll look it up real quick.
No, that's great. I that's news to me.
See? Yeah, I mean, this...
We're learning. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Boy, are we learning.
Yeah.
Between hiccups and, you know, it's good to get your mail and... Nothing happens outside of 10 miles.
Yeah, studio zone. In the American entertainment industry, the studio zone, also known as the 30-mile zone, TMZ, is the area within a 30-mile radius from the intersection of West Beverly Boulevard and North La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles, California, which at one time was the location of the headquarters of the Alliance Motion Picture and Television Producers, the negotiating body for most studio management. It was the... The entertainment industry unions currently use this area to determine rates and work rules for union workers.
I mean,
so that's what it is.
At some point, can we learn too much today?
Yeah. Well, we're about to learn some more. Because Kirk, I noticed on your Wikipedia page earlier.
Is that what you went to, Wikipedia?
Yeah, that's what I went to. You're San Diego.
San Diego, sir.
Born in San Diego, California. Born and raised. Correct?
I was born there and raised there.
Fun fact, did you know that it is the 8th largest city in the United States?
Man, I did not know. I mean, are you saying it's a fun fact?
I'm saying this. I mean, it's, you know, it's an adequate fun fact. It's like a, you know, like if you don't want to get too excited, it's a, you know, it's a
fact.
I
like San Diego. I should, I'd go back if it was closer.
It's the second largest in California.
It's outside the TMZ.
And it is one of the fastest growing cities in the nation.
It is fast. I could never catch up.
Yeah. And, Here's something I don't know if you knew. I didn't know this. But in the early part of the 20th century, San Diego hosted two World's Fairs. It hosted the Panama-California Exposition in 1915 and the California Pacific International Exposition in 1935.
That's crazy.
And, do they still do World's Fairs? Is that a current thing?
I don't think they do.
Okay.
I don't think they do.
They do World's Cup.
They do.
They I mean, now with you got like E3 and you got there's a tech convention in Las Vegas every year, then you have it's not like it used to be where they, you know, get all of the world's technologies and have them at
got
one
it.
Thing.
Right.
So they're like all spread apart.
Yeah.
You know, with conventions everywhere.
And where did you find those fun facts? Did you just go to San Diego?
No, I looked them up on the San Diego Wikipedia page.
Nice.
I love Wikipedia. You can find some interesting things, such as, here's the thing, the menagerie of exotic animals featured in the 1915 exposition provided the basis for the San Diego Zoo, the world-famous San Diego Zoo, which also noted the San Diego Zoo helped pioneer the concept of open-air, cageless exhibits that help recreate the natural animal habitats.
I should go back. And just check it out now.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going in there now with more knowledge than I had.
That's a, you know, I don't know how I feel about zoos.
They depress me.
They depress
though
me.
Though probably the San Diego Zoo less than most.
Because of the weather?
Yeah, exactly. Just the fact that I'm in such a pleasant city while I'm there. No, just because of the habitats. Yeah. I mean, they do kind of look like where monkeys would hang out. But, yeah.
Listen, I don't think you need to cage anything.
Yeah.
Just let them go. And if you can catch them. Then you can look at them.
Yeah.
Go to their natural habitat.
It's a catch-22 because I disagree with, like, keeping animals captive and all that. But then again, it's like I can't afford to go to Africa and go on a world safari and see all these creatures.
I feel the same way about girls when they dance in glass boxes. It's just unless they're sick. Unless they're sick or very dangerous.
Yeah. If the weather's good.
Yeah,
you know, or cages.
I suppose.
Like a lot of girls dance in cages, and I just wonder if it's necessary.
Yeah.
This now, may be an apocryphal story, but I think they brought a group of Maasai warriors out from Africa to San Diego as ambassadors.
To strip?
And no, not to strip. I think they lived at the San Diego Wild Animal Park out and among the beasts for a little while. This may be
now,
a
are
false
these people
story.
Or animals?
These are people. And apparently the warriors just hated their time in America. Like, they just didn't
Did they
it.
Win a they trip to San Diego? Was it like
it
an FBI sting
well,
when they give tickets to felons
like
to the World
to
Series?
Them, like they, that, they wanted to go home.
Do you remember?
There should be. A
are they
movie
still
about
there?
This.
Do you remember that movie?
We've been looking for a movie to do together.
The remember the movie The Professionals? I think it was The Professionals.
You guys can't do a movie now without me. We're like a threesome.
With John Travolta. Do you remember that one? With it was where he met his. Who's he married to? The
Kelly
Preston.
Preston.
John Travolta met Kelly Preston on this movie. I think it was called The Professionals. It was basically it was in the 80s when like there was a lot of nostalgia. Like he had. Back to the Future taking place in the 50s. This movie was based on the Cold War, whereas Russians built a replica city of New Jersey in Russia, and they wanted to train the Russian spies how to act more like humans. So they kidnapped John Travolta and his buddy and convinced them that they were going to be like club owners in this New Jersey town. But they took him to Russia, and it ended up being like ended up being like a 1950s town. And these like that John Travolta and the guy were like how like. We know it's not New York, but
kind
how
of a pleasant
behind the times
feeling,
are you?
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's kind of like
is
that
it
with
a
these
comedy?
Warriors.
I mean, is yeah, it, yeah I guess
comedy.
What I thought. It sounds like it, but I don't remember. I remember The Professional, but I don't remember The Professionals.
I think it was called
check
the,
that
was
out.
That,
it's The Experts.
The Experts.
The Experts.
Okay. The
okay. Experts.
Oh, there you go. Oh, no.
But they were
now
professionals. The Experts were very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you, Kirk, would you feel better if you knew that the animals in the San Diego Zoo had daddy issues? Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, I mean, that would help. I think if you can go find the animals and look at them, I feel it's the same way with the strippers.
Yeah, the lions are putting themselves through law school and stay
behind these cages. Just listen, I think we should all be free. I'm a firm advocate of freedom for animals, strippers. I don't even like ants in ant farms. Like I had a friend recently who actually really...
I actually just recently had one myself, an
ant
farm.
A girl I knew wanted me to buy her an ant farm. And I just...
That should have been a reason to...
No, it was interesting. But it was just like, you know, she said she had wanted one her whole life. And I was like, and no one has pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a sign that maybe... I finally just said, you know... If you want to see them, come to my apartment and see them in their natural habitat. And she's like, yeah, but they have to eat special food. And I was like, not mine.
Yeah.
You know, mine have been working on the same muffin for 6 months.
Have you guys seen this on the internet, like over the last year or whatever? People will take like either molten like tin or like cement and they'll pour them down like ant hills.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
and it becomes a sculpture
or whatever. And it becomes like... a big sculpture, then they let it harden, then they dig it out, and it's like a big, like a big sculpture of like where the ants and their holes are dug.
And are the ants really... still in the?
No, they're suffocated. They suffocate the ants.
Oh, you pour concrete down there; that would get that done.
So I just wonder if you see you see some of the ants just in the concrete, just one tent
digging out
one little like. God, it was such a fight.
I should have gone to work today.
It seems like a lot of work to do for that to kill ants.
Well, I think they're
a lot of them will
study.
End up just dying on their own.
Well, the new ant farms have this gel in them that the ants actually eat, so you don't have to feed them or water them or anything. The gel itself feeds them, so you just put them on in there and they're
That's
good.
I'm not buying real estate at any at
gel.
Any size.
What if like houses have like big fish tanks? What if you went into a house and it was just this giant ant farm with like thousands of like ants?
That would be cool.
I just said that is my apartment.
Here's some fun facts.
We'll decide if they're fun facts.
Rhett, now
yes.
You wrote a very funny movie that I'm a fan of called The Zombieland.
Yes, I co-wrote that with my writing partner,
Yes.
Paul Wernick, yes.
Now, in this movie, one of my favorites, one of my favorite actors, Woody Harrelson, as a huge fan of the Twinkie.
Of Twinkies, yeah.
Yes. Now, how did that, when you were writing that, how did that come
about? Well, just, it was a little bit of a symbol for lost innocence, you know, and days gone by. As a child, we ate a lot of, I ate a lot of Twinkies.
Okay.
I love them. And it just, to me, came to symbolize childhood in a way and trying to retrieve that in a world gone crazy.
So was the first, in the first draft, was it always Twinkie?
It was
or
always
it,
Twinkies,
it's always
yeah.
been Twinkie.
From
change.
The very first draft, it was always Twinkies. And,
you
know, Woody Harrelson's vegan, so he wouldn't eat a real Twinkie, so they made him vegan fake Twinkies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was one piece of trivia.
He wouldn't eat a real Twinkie?
No.
Man, it's crazy.
He's very strictly vegan.
Vegan.
And
what would have happened, you think? He would just slip into, just couldn't stop.
Giving him
Give me a
yoo-hoo. Probably, yeah.
I want a ding-dong now.
You wonder, because I wonder about that, like, people who are for so long vegan and don't eat, like, creams or anything like that. Like,
I think
if
it'd be
it would
a little bit of shock
to
your system, right? I mean,
eventually, I feel like you would develop an intolerance to, like, dairy.
I mean, if you had told him it was vegan, I'm sure.
Maybe he wouldn't have known.
How do you know?
Yeah, he probably.
I mean, what does vegan
know.
Taste like?
I don't know. I've never had a vegan Twinkie. But
nor have I, and they don't exist. But our crew,
and no one
up.
Should have one. Woody, you made a big mistake.
The original Twinkies had banana cream inside.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Here's some facts about the Twinkie. Twinkies were invented in Muscatine, Iowa, on April 6, 1930, by a gentleman by the name of James Alexander DeWar. He was a baker for the Continental Baking Company. Now, realizing this is how he came up with it. He worked for this baking company, and realizing that several machines used to make the cream-filled strawberry shortcake treat, they sat idle when strawberries were out of season, DeWar conceived of a snack cake filled with banana cream, which he dubbed the Twinkie. Now, Richie Koff said he came up with the name of the Twinkie when he saw a billboard in St. Louis for Twinkle Toe Shoes. But during World War II, bananas were rationed like quite a bit of other things in the United States, and the company was forced to switch to vanilla cream, which changed, and it proved really popular, and they ended up overselling all the banana cream Twinkies, and they didn't revert back since. Then in 1988, fruit and cream Twinkies were introduced with a strawberry filling swirled into the cream, and the product was soon dropped. But then in 2005, actually, Twinkie brought back the banana cream Twinkies to help promote the movie King Kong.
Interesting. Did King Kong have a penchant for Twinkies?
Yeah, but only the vegan kind.
maybe he ate a real Twinkie and that's what pissed him off.
Yeah.
He had indigestion. That caused a lot of rage.
He was angry the whole time. Well,
would you guess the shelf life of a Twinkie is if you had to guess? I know the answer.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I'd say 64 years.
It's a little less than that. It's actually 3 weeks. You would guess it's longer than that with all the preservatives in there. But, in fact, they do kind of go stale and get chewy and then hard.
But why do they say they can last forever? Was that just an angle?
That was, we didn't say that, but it was, I guess people assume that.
Clearly someone in my family
said that. I mean, I think people assume that just because you assume there are a lot of preservatives in there, but they're like any other, you know, kind of cakey
thing. They sure don't last long.
Yeah, they get stale fast.
Even in the package.
Well, they get eaten.
Even in the package.
They get eaten.
3 weeks in the packaging. Okay.
Yeah, so you can't rely on those in the post-apocalyptic
world. So they're constantly getting turned over and sold every
year. Yes,
like,
that's right.
If they're on the shelf for...
Like bananas.
Yeah.
Except a little bit longer. Yeah, I mean, so the movie was a cheat because the Twinkies would not have lasted that long in a fresh state.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It's Hollywood.
That's interesting.
That is. I'm learning a lot today. I didn't know it would be this
fun.
I didn't know I'd be leaving with this much knowledge.
Speaking of food, when food was like the food shelf life, let me pull it up here. When you buy cartons of eggs, there's three numbers. You have the date, which is like it says like July 14th when you need them by or whatever. Then there's three numbers prefacing that, and I'm showing them a picture. You guys can look on your egg cartons now or Google a picture of egg cartons.
It's like random numbers.
Oh, you want to do this now, people.
It's a visual medium.
It's
works
like the
really
eggs
well.
Have a serial number.
You
got
to check this out.
It's a visual medium really works well for podcasting, but the numbers, the first three numbers is actually the day it was packaged of the year. So this is 166 on the picture I'm showing them. So that's 166th day of the year, which is June 15th.
Oh, wow.
So that's why a carton of eggs generally lasts refrigerated around a month.
Okay.
They last, you
then
know.
Then what happens? Will they hatch?
I'm not a scientist, but I don't think they'll hatch.
Okay. These are things that that I'm curious about. You wonder what I'd like to learn. Can an egg hatch?
If I remember anything from Charlotte's Web, I think they turn sour, right? Don't they start smelling if eggs over eggs?
Like that's what I associate with.
Woody would know.
Yeah. No, I think eggs are not, they're not vegan.
They're not vegan. Well, it depends. I think if they're not fertilized, I think they aren't. You're a vegan, right, Aristotle? So eggs are not vegan at all?
Nope.
Even if they're not fertilized? Okay.
So what is vegan?
No animal products.
That's it? Are you even allowed to look at animals?
Sometimes. When I'm feeling
odd. You just glance at them and, darn it.
Yeah, my girlfriend's vegan, and you have to kind of get into it. You have to learn how to do it right.
Yeah.
But then once you do, it's a very healthy option.
I think you need some meat.
No, are you a vegan?
No.
No, that's a fast no.
She has not won me over.
You have not been assimilated.
She's won me over in every regard but that.
Does she get mad when you eat a steak and
not
breathe
at all.
On her?
No, she's actually, well... Yeah, no. I mean, well, I don't know about the breathing on part, but she doesn't try to, you know, convert me.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Very cool.
Here's while we're talking about food here. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink alcohol or anything like that.
Why? What happened?
I've never got into it. I'm 32 years sober. Just never had a drop. Never been my thing.
I don't drink much either. That's
wait,
my,
so
my
you,
mom
you say 32 years sober.
Well, I'm 32 years old, so yes. Yeah, I've never
I mean, sober kind of implies that you fell off the wagon.
Fair enough. Maybe your
mom was drinking heavily while you were...
Is there a name for not...
Teetotaler?
No.
That doesn't sound as fun as sober. Or that doesn't sound as fun as...
All you have to say is, you know, I've never drank before.
I'm a sober enthusiast. Does that work?
No. Not if you haven't.
Yeah.
It's just never been a part of your life.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't think you can even use sober.
I agree with that, I guess.
Listen, I don't want any trouble. I'm a terrible podcaster.
Yeah. No, I agree with that because, I mean... When you do say you're sober or you don't drink or whatever, people instantly think you fell off the wagon or whatever. So I guess, yeah, I guess sober
or
doesn't mean...
You did fall off the wagon, but it was just a little red wagon. And you had never had a drink.
He fell off the radio flyer, exactly.
I fell off the little red wagon.
It could
wagon.
Also mean that you're Muslim or Mormon or something like that, too. Which
or just
you don't
a pussy.
Like
or just afraid of the joy that comes with a good margarita.
I just think naturally entertaining and naturally entertained by the world. I like to look at it the positive.
Yeah.
Look at the positive.
What was it? Frank Sinatra had a quote. I can never remember... When we're on air, I can't.
For someone who doesn't drink, you sure don't remember.
When we're recording, Frank Sinatra had a funny quote about like those that don't drink or whatever, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember it. Aristotle will look it up.
Look that up.
Those that don't drink. That's all I got.
All I got. He was Frank Sinatra. There, those that don't drink. Dino, give me another scotch.
I think Frank just said I don't trust anyone
doesn't
drink.
Yeah.
Any other stuff?
No. I mean, I drink massive amounts of caffeine, but,
Oh, that's disgusting. You're an embarrassment.
Yeah. I'm not a full man. But what I was getting at, and this will make me sound even less of a man, but, I drink, when I go to bars, like I'll tend to drink Shirley Temples because they're delicious and they're great, they're very, the grenadine, so delicious.
Except very hard to order one with a straight face and not be emasculated.
With a straight anything.
Yeah. but the common Shirley Temple, the original Shirley Temple was invented with grenadine and ginger ale, but it's since turned to be the common
7-Up, right?
The 7-Up or Sprite.
Or Sprite, right.
Yep. And Sprite, I don't know if you guys know this, but Fanta... the brand Fanta was...
you say Fanta?
Fanta or Fanta.
Okay.
Let's go with Fanta.
If you say Fanta, but if you say Fanta, then the commercial jingle doesn't work. The Fanta...
Oh, is that right?
Fanta.
Rhymes
Fanta,
with something?
Do you want a Fanta? Fanta.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So it is
commercial
Fanta.
Commercial jingle. Yeah. But anyways, Fanta was...
Or do you want a Fanta? I mean, where are you from?
Yes, I want one.
I want a Fanta.
The long story short, Fanta was Fanta during World War II when Germany and the U.S. prevented things from being shipped to goods and services to Germany. All the Coca-Cola plants had to shut down because they weren't getting the Coke products. So one of the guys who ran the Coca-Cola plants in Germany created like orange flavored Cokes and sodas and stuff like that. And hence Fanta arrived. And then once World War II ended, Coca-Cola reassimilated Fanta into their brand. And that's where Sprite comes from. Sprite is a colorless. For those of you that don't
know. Was it colorless because they just didn't have any color?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Sprite is a colorless, lemon-lime flavored, caffeine-free soft drink created by the Coca-Cola Company, but it was developed in West Germany in 1959 as Fanta Claire Zitron, which
sounds poisonous. It was used to kill Jews.
It stands for Clear Lemon Fanta, and it was introduced in the United States as Sprite in 1961. This was Coke's response to the popularity of 7-Up, and it comes in primarily silver, green, and blue can, or green translucent bottle with a primarily green and blue label. So that's a little
brief history dangerous.
About Sprite. Yeah.
Sounds dangerous. I was going to go home and get a Fanta, but it just sounds like it's from whence it came.
Yeah,
it sounds.
I'm going to stick to the
I'm going to stick to Coca-Cola.
I'm going to stick to 7-Up now, knowing that Sprite is of German origin.
Yeah. I found out I was German recently.
Yeah? How'd you find that out?
You know, my whole life I thought I was Black Irish.
Okay.
And then...
What does that mean?
It just meant that...
What does Black Irish mean? That's a term I've heard, but I can't place.
I thought, well, I have green eyes. And the Black Irish have green eyes, and I think they're from Spain. Look that up.
Yeah, I'm looking
that up. But all my friends were Irish, and I love Guinness. So I always thought I was Irish. And then I finally asked my mom, kind of near, before she died, I was like, hey, listen, what part of Ireland am I from?
Here we go. Black Irish is an ambiguous term sometimes used mainly outside Ireland as a reference to a dark-haired phenotype appearing in people of Irish origin.
Well, you do have dark hair.
However,
so that's...
listen, it all lined up. And then I said, what part of Ireland am I from? And she's like, you have absolutely no Irish in you. And what took you, 35 years to even ask where... I'm like, so I'm not from Ireland.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you're all German. Your dad's all German. His whole family's from Germany. I'm from Scandinavia, Norwegian. And I had no Irish in me.
Yeah.
So I'd been supporting just the wrong teams.
Well, you've got a good one now.
He no longer celebrates St. Patrick's Day.
I miss potatoes.
Yeah.
Famine. But I'm German. If it helps anyone, if it gets my little to no internet presence, it should be rocking by now. I mean, how many people listen to this?
I don't have numbers, but we're regularly in the top 100 comedy podcasts on iTunes.
Well, we're going to fix that today.
We're going to drag us down.
Drag him down. Listen, we're gonna have a dip today, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Today's educational.
It's about Twinkies and bananas and ants,
And Black Irish.
Exactly.
However, it says here also, dark-haired people of Irish descent is common, although darker skin complexions appear less frequently. One popular theory suggests the Black Irish are descendants of survivors of the Spanish Armada.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
You got the Spain, right?
That's what I thought. You know what I like about this podcast? You have to really be careful what you say, because you will learn everything there is to know about that. So you can't just throw something out because, a Volvo almost ran me over today. Oh, let me tell you about the Volvo. Oh, shit.
I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
When you learned that you were German, has that affected your psychology at all?
Yeah, look at me. I'm a lot meaner. I hate everybody.
You have a hankering for different foods now? Like,
I just, when I found out I was German, it all made sense. It made sense. But, I wanted to go back to Germany. I'd been there as an Irishman.
Yeah, and you didn't feel like you fit
But now I feel like I should go back.
Get
there
on
was,
board.
There was some brothels where I'll go in a little cockier.
I was, as a matter of fact... speaking of brothels, I think it was on Reddit.
See?
Here we go. Brothels.
Speaking of whores, let me tell you about syphilis. Yeah, read it to me, and then I'll confirm
on
with a picture
here.
Of my dick.
I seen it on Reddit. I think it was Reddit. There was... I'm pulling it up here. Let me...
Of course you are. I'd be embarrassed if you didn't.
There was... It was just the headline of... a Reddit today we learned. It had to do with... in Germany, there are all-you-can-fuck brothels, apparently.
I would think so.
Wow.
I'm not going in if I have to stop.
Let me see if I can find it here. Relevance new. Let's see here.
And you can't and you can't take any home, also, right?
Yeah.
It's like an all-you-can-eat sushi.
Once you walk out,
all-you-can-eat sushi, you have an hour.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like all-you-can-fuck in an hour.
Yeah.
There have to be some limit, because it's not like food where you could get completely sated.
And also, there's a sushi restaurant I go to, all-you-can-eat, that if you start doing good, like if you're really hungry and you're choosing the right sushi,
I don't think you can do good in an all-you-can-eat sushi. That's
they can. They pause and then they pull in a different chef who's a little slower. Mm-hmm. It's like in Vegas when you're winning at blackjack.
Yeah.
They suddenly just say, "Hang on," and then they bring in a Korean woman who just you lose 20 hands in a row. Oh, sorry, you had such luck before the dragon came in.
Yeah, apparently the it's the this is nobody even the there's a brothel in Germany called Caligula, obviously, and it's apparently it's a bunch of German words address I can't read, but it's like a all you can fuck brothel in Germany.
I would like to know more details though. Like, how does that
I'll
work?
Send you the link.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't like working there.
Yeah.
I do know that.
I would imagine not, but
oh god, again.
Yeah, I don't know how that would. I mean, how long? Like, how much time do you have on your hands that you're just hanging out?
Well, I tell you, but I don't want you to look it up.
Here's something.
But it sounds good. I mean, as just as a German,
that it feeds that German appetite for land.
I'd like
and
to just go and just and all you can eat pussy,
yeah.
And fuck.
Here's
sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
Oh, you can say fuck. I
don't know
fuck all the time,
but I try not to.
There's no censors on this show.
Well, I'm trying to put a filter on me. I'm just trying to seem smarter.
4th of July was recently.
Yes.
Did you guys do anything fun for the 4th?
When was it?
Barbecue.
2 weeks ago? A week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was a Friday.
Okay. I skipped it. Okay. As a German,
barbecue, nothing.
As a German, I don't care about the celebration of this country.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, I follow him on Twitter. I don't know if you guys follow him on Twitter. But here and there, he'll tweet like interesting facts, bits of information.
Yes.
And on the 4th of July, he tweeted, at 94.5 million miles... Earth on July 4th, on July 4th of 2014 this year, Earth in its oval orbit is at aphelion, which is the farthest distance from the sun. So in the middle of our summer, Earth is at the farthest distance from the sun.
A strange irony.
Yeah, then Earth is closest to the sun in January, which is known as perihelion. And the perihelion is the point in the orbit of a planet, asteroid, or comet where it is nearest the sun. It is opposite of aphelion, which is when the orbit of the object is farthest from the sun. And the word perihelion stems from the Greek words peri, meaning near, and helios, meaning the Greek god of the sun.
And I wonder, does it always fall in July and January, or is that kind of random? It can't. I would assume that.
No, it's got to be
regularly.
And
you speak like you believe this.
I do.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's a pretty...
I know, yeah. But you don't think at some point he's just...
Tried to slip one by us.
I mean...
Has
he ever been 94.5 million miles away? That's a long way to get a read on a tweet.
Well, if you think about it, during... Like... in January...
Listen, I know you're going to support him. You follow him on Twitter. I'm just saying, as a German... When I was Black Irish,
all of our German listeners are going to be like, "He's giving us a bad name," and it's
a bad name. I'm supporting what we believe in. Is prove it.
When you were Black Irish, you might have gone along.
Of course, we're drunk, just like Neil. The sun's so far away. You're right. I felt cold today. Tweet me. But as the German, it's like 94.5 million. That's a long way. Prove it. Have you been there?
No. Well, I have. Close. I mean, because I'm on Earth.
Well,
so
yeah. No, you've been
I mean,
at
we're
the,
relative. I mean, I'm
you've
given,
been at the perihelion.
Give or take 1,000 miles, I'm fairly close.
Aphelion.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a big number. 94.5 million miles away. How do you get that read? How does he know that?
Satellites?
Big old measuring tape.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think you're beginning to realize that.
What if
I'll ask Neil.
We could just be in the Matrix right now.
Well, we are.
None of this is real.
Is it?
Speaking of the sun, here's something that I read. The dark, this is interesting. I just have the headline here because it made
we'll
too much
decide
sense.
If it's interesting. You have a powerful screenwriter and a tennis pro.
Dark sunshades, dark sunglasses, are potentially worse for the eyes since they dilate the pupils and allow more harmful UV radiation to enter the eyes.
Okay. Now, but they look good, so yes. It's a wash. You're going to suffer a little, but you're going to probably be able to get into that brothel. All you can fuck
either,
sunglasses.
You're going to leave your eyes wide open. That kind of makes some sense. Oh, now you've got me scared.
Yeah.
You're running scared. See, I'm not.
This is why I don't leave my house. You know, that's why I don't even check the mail. Who knows what you're going to get? Fact like that.
I have like Dutch blood, and we get scared.
Do you? Why don't you ask your mom what part of Deutschland you're from?
It's definitely something that struck me. Like, I don't get scared too often, but I wear a lot of sunglasses. And
one at a time, though. I don't know you anymore.
A monocle. Sun monocle.
But it is interesting, I guess, you know, then again, you know, I mean, UV radiation to the eyes, is eye cancer a thing? Is that what we're concerned about? Or what are we, I mean, do you know what I mean?
Is that what you're concerned about?
I don't think so.
I'm not
concerned
about
that. What do UV rays do to the eyes, if anything?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Do they give you a
Do they exist?
Yeah.
They burn your retina out, maybe, or something?
Have they ever?
No,
you know anyone?
You're right.
All shit.
You're soothing my fears.
I mean, by the time someone's like,
I just wish I'd found out I was German before I was 35. I feel I'd be
would
a
be
lot
very
further.
Different.
Yeah,
he's like Jack Nicholson finding out his mother is really his sister.
Chinatown.
You know? Yeah, because like it's 35 years of living a lie.
Exactly.
It's like the Truman Show over here.
I missed out on a lot.
This is our movie we're looking for.
Yes.
Great.
A documentary about
as long as we shoot it within 3 miles of my apartment.
the Union's too long. We got to go 31 miles outside.
We got to go to Westlake Village.
I shot my TV series at Paramount, Parks and Rec, CBS Redford,
yeah.
Comedy Store. I don't go outside 3 miles.
Yeah.
Conan, three
so you,
miles.
You never do the ice house.
Why would I?
Because.
Too far. I have a car that I don't know if it'll make it back.
He hasn't checked it in 3 weeks. The mailman probably took it.
He may have.
He's just hoping for a paparazzi encounter. That's why he's staying in this area, he thinks, maybe.
No. I'm hoping for nothing. That's part of my charm.
Yeah. Speaking of screenwriting,
yes.
Have any of you seen the movie World War Z?
Yes.
No.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen it.
Have you read the book?
No.
I haven't seen it.
How do you feel about the alphabet? We'll get you in on this. There's got to be a left.
I rarely get as far as Z, but no, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I was a little burned out on zombies.
Oh, after writing it?
Well, you know, you devote your life to it for a few years, and then...
Do they exist? Do they exist? Sorry, listeners, I was back too far.
No, they don't.
Only the black Irish ones.
No, they don't exist. But yeah, I was just a little burned out on zombie movies. And that's not to say I don't love them, because I do. It's just, you know, I worked in reality TV for a while, a long time ago, and I burned out on that too. It's just when you really devote yourself to something for too long, you just kind of...
So this is interesting. Okay, so you written Zombieland. You wrote Zombieland.
Yes.
In writing that, I imagine you did research on zombies or watched quite a few zombie films?
A little
films,
bit,
or?
Yeah. Yeah. Not overly, because again, that tends to
You can
kind of
make up your own...
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. It's not real, so you can kind of make it up. And a lot of the rules of zombies are, you know, it's not like it's rocket science. Like, okay. So I kind of knew what they were. And I think you can over-research something to the point where then it doesn't become fun anymore.
Yeah.
So a little...
Ever a fast zombie?
Yeah,
ever?
Oh yeah, absolutely. In our movie, they're fast. Yeah,
pick up the pace. I haven't seen your movie. I'm sorry.
28 Days Later was the movie that made them fast.
Yeah, it was.
That kind of reinvigorated the genre. And then Dawn of the Dead, they were fast. And then Zombieland, they were fast. And now it kind of just depends on
what
the
if
movie.
They started driving. That's probably the next movie.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious Zombies.
There was that movie Warm Bodies, which was kind of about like cognizant zombies. I think.
Right.
Like I mean,
zombies
were
a little more.
They were still a little bit. What did you think of World War Z? I haven't seen it, but is it worthwhile?
I enjoyed it. It was good for me to watch a whole movie. I had a comfortable couch, and someone said, "Let's watch this," and I did, and it was a big day.
This is
but I liked it. It was nice to see.
reason I bring this up is because this kind of took me by surprise. I didn't know this.
I thought it's a true story, which made it better.
Based on real acts. The author of World War Z and the book it's based off of, the Zombie Survival Guide, I guess, is by the name of Max Brooks, and his father is Mel Brooks. I did not know that, until I read this. Yeah. That kind of threw me by surprise that, you know, Mel Brooks' kid is writing about zombies and writing successful zombie books, and I thought that was kind of neat.
That's probably the way to go. You're not going to write a comedy as good as Dad.
Yeah.
Go a different direction.
That's right.
Yeah.
My dad was a handyman, and I've made a point to never fix anything. It clearly has skipped a generation. He used to build shelves. I still can't figure out where to put a book without the thing tipping. I guess you got to start in the middle, work your way out.
He used to build tanks and planes and
someone did
bombs.
Damn it! I wish I'd known that.
My dad. I found out late.
I can't go build a tank now. My age. I can't even lift myself up. Tanks are heavy.
My dad was furthest from being a handyman. My brother and I we're more handy. My brother more so than me because he owns a house in Michigan and he's always remodeling and doing cool shit. But I distinctly remember one time my dad trying to put together like a desk of some sort, and it was one of those ones where like with wooden pegs that you use to like have seamless and like flush like corners and edges. And I distinctively remember it breaking. Because it wasn't an expensive piece of cabinetry, but also my dad used a hammer on it, like nailing it, you know, pounding it together. And in big black letters on the instruction manual, it says, "Do not use hammer."
Yeah, yeah, that would be me.
I distinctly remember that.
That would be me. I'd be that guy. I am not handy in the least. I'm with you. I'm with both of you.
Yeah,
could not get anything done.
I wish I'd like to believe I could learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
If
I have to build something, I try not to.
Yeah.
I can find it in my alley if I really need it. Yeah. There's a lot of shelves.
Find one on Craigslist free.
Just in my alley. My alley is where furniture in Hollywood goes to die.
Well, that's what's nice about the modern world is that everybody gets to do what they're good at. Like back in the old days, you had to do everything. You had to be able to do everything. And thank God we're not there. I wouldn't have lasted a minute.
Yeah.
You had to hunt, and then you had to make the tool to hunt, and then you had to.
I would have liked
it.
I would have preferred it.
Oh, no way. No way. I would have died. I would have been. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can. Like, if the apocalypse ever comes in my lifetime, I could be like the leader of a group. Like, I could accumulate followers or like friends. And like I'm like the idea, like I could plan and stuff like that, and I can
you'd plan where to hide.
I can produce things and stuff like that, but I would. I mean, I'd be the first one to
I'd be a leader. I'd lead a group. I'd lead you guys.
Yeah, I can run. So.
But then I'd die quick, just because I don't have the skill. But I'd sure go out. My back is tight to lead a group. Like I was in The Postman with Kevin Costner.
Yes. Oh, is that right?
And I just I played a stamp. I mean, that's in the future. Just
okay. Now, when you were on that, did you meet Tom Petty? Because I remember he was in that movie too, right?
Yeah.
How's he? Is he a cool guy?
Yeah, he's a good musician. Good hair. Perfect part. Yeah. Right down the middle. Yeah.
I like that movie. I thought it was kind of like, if I remember correctly, it came out shortly after Waterworld, right?
And
it was kind of like an overlap where it was Waterworld didn't do too well as like a futuristic.
He was trying to see how many, he could do in a row that didn't make money.
I'm a fan of Kevin Costner.
Oh, I used to love Kevin Costner.
Yeah, he's good.
Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp was good.
I was in that.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
That's cool.
He was, if I remember correctly, Kevin Costner started off as his first role was a dead guy.
The Big Chill.
The
Big Chill. He played the corpse. Yeah. I think there were scenes.
Another good Kevin Costner is when he was doing Silverado.
Oh, that's great.
With Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
Yes. He went on a run there.
But there was a script that Larry had. Called The Bodyguard, that Larry had written for Diana Ross and Steve McQueen.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And it didn't happen, but Costner got a hold of that script and said, I want to do this. And Larry said, you're not famous enough. You're not big enough. And then 15 years later, Kevin was a big enough star, and he came back and said, I want to do The Bodyguard.
That was a really old script. That's cool.
That's really neat.
It was eventually,
Yeah,
but Kevin was big enough.
Finally came out after years of turnaround, and Isn't that weird how, like, movies will do that? Like, they'll be, like, a good script on the blacklist or something for, like, a long time, and it'll just disappear
brutal.
And work.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, 20 years later or whatever, it's made, and it's either a huge success or it fails because...
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, things take so long.
Like, I wasn't big enough to be in Zombieland, but...
Well, we just shot outside your three-mile radius. That was the problem.
Skype my Twinkie in. I would have talked you through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Projects take so long to make that it just kills you. But the upside of that is that no project's really ever dead entirely.
Yeah.
You know, a script can find life 10, 15 years after it was written, which is wonderful.
And we live in a world where you can make your own movie.
Yeah.
I made a movie called Tennis Anyone years ago, and with Donald Logue, and Donald directed it.
He's terrific.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He and I wrote
it.
He's
really good.
He is funny.
We tried to get some money, and it didn't happen, and he wanted to make this movie, and he made it happen.
He bootstrapped it.
He found some money and some short ends, the film, from Grounded for Life.
He was in Tower of Steve, right?
That's a great movie. And then he was in Grounded for Life. And
check those out.
Really
Tennis Anyone. You got to watch it.
Tennis
I'll watch
anyone.
Yours if you watch mine.
Okay. I'm in.
Now, I'm from Michigan, as our listeners know. Kirk is from San Diego.
My dad was from Michigan.
Okay, whereabouts in Michigan?
Shelby.
Okay, I know where that's at. I'm from Bay City.
Muskegon, I went and visited.
Okay.
Do you know how Muskegon got its name?
I don't.
Would you like to know?
Absolutely.
Sounds
that's
like
what
a
the,
Native
I mean, it's
American tribe.
That's what this show's all about, is spreading knowledge.
Well, good. It only took me an hour to realize that I should have been giving more knowledge. But an Indian was walking along this lake with a musket, and he dropped it, and it fell into the lake, and he said, "Musket gone." And that's how Muskegon
is
was.
Is that right?
What, I'm going to lie to your listeners?
I'm going to believe it. I'm going to...
The sun's $94.5 million away. Not million dollars. $94.5 million miles away. And
on that day, on July 4th...
Yeah. No, it's not.
Cutting it close.
Yeah.
I love that story. That's a great story.
It's a great story.
I'm here. I'm not just here for looks.
Yeah. I'm not showing up.
You look skeptical. You're on the internet now. He's trying to prove you wrong. I think maybe.
I didn't doubt your father in the Hammer story. I mean, which sounded hard to believe that anyone would take a hammer to a dowel.
I will concur with. I like your story.
Listen, I'm just happy to be here.
I like your story. Rhett, where are you from? As we're wrapping up, I want to...
Mostly Arizona. Mostly,
oh, that's right. You mentioned that earlier.
Phoenix
is
kind of home. Okay. I was from Ohio before that, but...
Okay.
People were raised in Phoenix.
Well, now a lot, yeah. Back when I was there, pretty much everybody had moved from somewhere else, yeah. But now there's a whole generation of people who grew up in Phoenix. Yeah, were born and raised.
But they're not still
cool
there.
Place.
They get out quick, right?
Well, no, they...
die.
The summer's rough, but the rest of the year is awesome.
A lot of people just die there. Heat.
A lot of people go there
ants.
To die. Yeah.
It's like God just taking a huge magnifying glass and pointing it at Phoenix during the summer. Four people die a day there. Just their heads popping.
Maybe.
It's like a people farm.
Ready for this?
Nope.
Phoenix is the capital and largest city of the state of Arizona. Okay. Now, it is also...
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt you because know you love reading, but I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew Phoenix was a capital.
Okay. Yeah, as did most people. But did you know Phoenix is the most populous state capital in the United States?
Oh, did not know that.
As well as the sixth most populous city nationally. So it's two cities more populated than San Diego.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Listen, I will. I didn't know it was a... competition. I wish I came from a better city.
I'm just glad I'm from a bigger city.
That's good. I'm just glad that none of my friends ever were burnt during the summer to death.
We lost a good guy out there. We lost some really good men.
I'm gonna go get some mail. No, don't do it. It's too dangerous.
That's why. That's funny. I'm just thinking of, you know, mail people. Like losing so much mail in Phoenix because it's too hot outside
to go get
the mail.
Box, yeah.
So the mailman just keeps assuming they're gone. They just
the mailman doesn't even go.
Return to sender. It's too hot. Try back in 3 months. Try sending in 3 months when it cools down. Fun times. Well, that's approaching our time here. So we're wrapping up here. I want to thank you guys for joining us. And
thank you very much.
As we wrap up, we take the time to sell yourselves to the world and promote whatever you got. So, Kirk, why don't you go first? And where can everybody find you? What do you
got coming
up?
I got nothing. That could be the problem.
You got nothing, but you got Kirk Fox on Twitter. Very funny. Very
At Kirk Fox. I don't mind a few followers. And I now do have a website. Kirk Fox. It's a week old. I'm about 10 years late. That's one of the reasons. And other than that, I'm just a lot of golf and tennis.
A lot of golf.
A few
and tennis.
Jokes at night.
Where can we find you doing stand-up most often?
Yeah.
Comedy Store, a few nights a week.
Oh, really? Okay. So that'll be easy to find.
Yeah, but pace yourself. Don't just go in there looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
It's not that good.
Okay.
Alrighty. Rhett. What do you got coming up? Sell yourselves.
Well, I also have a Twitter account.
Yes,
at Rhett Reese. Yeah, and then my writing partner and I are writing a movie for Sony right now based on a video game called Watch Dogs.
Oh, okay.
And we got a couple scripts that we have written that we're trying to get made. Deadpool among them. Over
yeah,
at Fox,
what's that about?
Which is it's based on a Marvel character, and we're very fond of it, and we're very proud of the script, and we're trying to, you know, get it made, get that positivity out there in the ether. We wrote it about 4 or 5 years ago.
Been
a while, but we're hoping it's one of those long-term success stories. So.
No, and Ryan Reynolds, is he still, because he's been wanting to do that movie for a while, right?
Ryan's still attached, and it just remains for the higher-ups to see the potential in it.
Okay.
It's not your average superhero script or movie, but...
Yeah.
But in a way, we think that's great. It's a real breath of fresh air. It's very different and really fun.
God damn, that's awesome.
So
I'm excited. I like superhero movies.
Listen, I'm just happy to be with two guys that are this proactive.
We're yes-anders right here. Proactive about everything. Yeah.
And you're writing. That's hard to do.
It is hard. It's hard.
What's the average length that takes you from either conception or so, like this video game, or Deadpool. Zombieland was an original script.
Right, Zombieland was original.
So these two properties
when it's original
are based...
and you're kind of on your own, you can really go fast. I mean, Zombieland was about a month.
Okay.
To write the original pilot. It was a pilot first. But when there are a lot of moving parts, when there's existing material and different companies involved before you arrive, it can be years. I mean, it can really take a long time. So it really depends.
Now, what about, Deadpool, how long was that? Watch Dogs, so they give
you Deadpool came together pretty fast. We wrote it in a few months, I would say, kind of turning in pages to Ryan and to the studio as we went, and that went fast. But subsequent to that, it's been a 4-year development process, and who knows.
What stage is it at now?
Well, it's basically we've got a budget, and we've got a director, we've got a star, and we've got a screenplay that everybody's happy with, and all we need is and we've got an animation test. Our director did about a 2.5-minute test to show what it would look like, which is
really
amazing.
Cool.
I'd love to be able to share that with the world.
Yeah.
But we can't do it yet, I guess. But all we need is a green light. We just need someone.
What do you think's I'm just curious. What do you think is the one obstacle that's keeping it from?
Oh,
is there one guy that doesn't like you?
I hesitate to speculate. I don't know. I mean, I know they've got a big, kind of stable of comic book characters they own the rights to over there, and they're making other movies. So we sometimes feel like we're in competition with the other movies. But I honestly can't apply logic to it. I mean, Marvel comic movies do better than any other movie. They've not one of them has failed since maybe Daredevil a long time ago. It just seems like the ultimate no-brainer. We've got a $50 million budget, which is very low for that kind of movie. And
is it a Marvel movie, or is it lumped in with Fox?
Well, it wouldn't be made by Marvel. It would be made by Fox, but it's a Marvel property. It's
correct.
Originally, and they just have the rights to the X-Men universe, and Deadpool falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
But, there's no logic to it. I can't understand why it hasn't been made. We just have to convince a few more folks, powerful folks.
I'll tweet at Bryan Singer. And
I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can.
Everybody tweet at – I feel like Singer can get things done. So tweet at him and have him produce it.
Yes, produce it, Brian.
Yeah.
Help us.
Come on, Brian. Come on, Bri.
I'm excited for it. Cause I'm a fan. I like Ryan Reynolds, and I think
he's great.
From what I've heard, and I never read Deadpool the comics, but I'm familiar with the comic universe, and I like comic book movies, and I'm familiar with the X-Men and all that. And he seems like
And I like the original Deadpool.
Oh, do you?
With Clint Eastwood.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was a Dirty Harry movie.
Yes, it was.
In the 80s. I remember it. The one with the little remote control car with the bomb on it going through
the
street.
Was that with
Jim Carrey was in there.
Was he really?
Was that with Charlie Sheen? Was that the one with Charlie Sheen?
No, that was the rookie.
Was Jim Carrey a bad guy?
Yeah, kind of a rock star, kind of a weird guy.
I'll have to go revisit that. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I liked it at the time, for sure. Our Deadpool script leaked onto the internet, interestingly.
Really?
All you have to do is go onto Google and type Deadpool script download, and you can find it.
You can find it.
It's crazy.
Could you put a link to my Twitter on there?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a kind of a...
You know, read the script and follow Kirk.
Mutual back
scratching. Now that I'm out there.
And your Twitter is at your name, at Kirk?
Well, Kirk Fox.
Oh, yeah, sorry, at Kirk Fox. Kirk Fox.
I mean, at Kirk goes to Kirk Cameron.
Actually, I know this because I followed you today.
I know. I followed you. I had been following you.
Oh, had you?
Yeah.
No. Had you?
Why don't you check?
Okay, I'll check. Well, you are. I'm following you as of now.
Wonderful.
When I also
well,
follow
great. I'll do. I'll do better.
No, you're funny already.
I'll do better. I didn't know that there was a possibility of being in a huge studio movie.
I don't have casting power. I think you've overestimated my...
Tweet at Bryan Singer to get this rolling and have Kirk be the first murdered by Deadpool.
or the last, if you want to see me in there for second act.
Alrighty, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Kirk and Rhett. Thank you guys for joining us. We want to thank our listeners. As usual, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle, the number two. You can follow Dan, who's sadly not here right now, at Osteoferocious. You can follow the podcast at TWL Podcast. You can send us any facts or trivia, or send us comments at twlpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Today we learned with Razzle and Dan. Once again, we want to thank you guys for joining us and listening. And if you can, give us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends to subscribe, etc. And maybe come September we can climb to the 70s of the top iTunes comedy podcast. But you know, we really appreciate you guys listening and everything. And have fun, tell your friends, and stay cool out there.
And beware of the hiccups, man. Yeah. They're around the corner.
Beware of the hiccups, and I guess don't take no wooden nickels. So thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.